Previously on Two Jews and a Gay.
It is Oscar season. Bring our resident movie expert, Derek.
Best supporting actress.
This is more up for grabs. Christoph Waltz, they already gave him an award. He's not going to win. So I would say Tommy Lee Jones has it. I think Daniel Day-Lewis has it set. I don't think Argo's going to win Best Picture. It's going to be Lincoln.
And we're very interested to see how his predictions pan out. Along with Jeremy Katz.
I have no idea what the Pope does.
He directs the flock.
Oh, okay, cool.
And Spencer Yasmin.
Like the Dallas Mavericks, I refused to shave my beard until we got back on the air.
How thick is the beard?
Oh, it's disgusting. Acne everywhere.
But that's gross. You get acne even without the beard.
True. And on my knees. Very painful.
Brian, did you know in high school Spencer's parents would yell at him and ground him if he didn't shave, like, what, a couple times a week?
My parents, they grounded me for dyeing my hair one time.
Where did you dye your hair? What color?
I dyed it, like, brown spots because I had a friend in high school try to dye my hair, and it didn't work out.
Hair is brown.
But here's the thing. No, my hair's black.
It's dark enough that it's, like,
exactly.
It was spots.
See the brown.
It was spots, but here's the thing. 3 weeks goes by. They don't even notice. And then on the third week, I'm at the dinner table. My mom's like, did you dye your hair? I was like, no. And I got up quickly, tried to clean my dishes. And she's like, Ron, get in here. He dyed his hair. He dyed his hair. And, I was grounded that weekend. So.
Do you ask your mom if she dyes her hair now?
No, she always dyed her hair. That's the thing.
That old
She's a hypocrite.
It has been a few weeks since we've been together. Not much has happened on my end, although we did go to Vegas for the senior Katz's bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
But non-disclosure agreements prevent us from really discussing much of what went on. so we'll just kind of move on.
There's not a rat in the group that can tell us details?
Oh.
I could tell details. There are details to be told.
So we just got to find. I just got to find the rat over the next couple of weeks.
Spencer, there's always a rat.
There's always a rat.
Where's that? I smell him. Where is he?
So since there's not much else to go on, since I'm like prohibited from discussing the events of last weekend, let's head it over to Spencer for a little dirty talk. Spencer, take it away.
All right. Well, thank you. So let's be. What is that?
I think it means there's an update.
Well, there's nothing new with me.
Nothing new with me.
I mean.
I got a concussion playing basketball this week.
That must be what it is.
But that's not new.
Play the, anytime there's an update, we play the music that tells us what it is. So, Jeremy, go ahead and press that the button that's flashing red, please, in our state-of-the-art studio.
Let's see what it means. Wait a minute. I didn't get engaged. Brian, did you get engaged?
I'm legally prohibited from being engaged in the state of California, so it's not me. Spencer, is it you?
Damn it. I thought we could go a whole episode without finding this out. Yeah, I got engaged.
Hey! Congratulations, Spencer.
Oh, stop it. I'm blushing. No, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you guys. Thank you very
much. So, of course, the first question is, when's the wedding?
We don't have a set date. Corey is aiming for sometime, preferably Memorial Day weekend next year.
Memorial Day weekend? She's going to...
Brother is I can't say ordained, I don't think, but is a certified rabbi, and she wants him to be the rabbi for the wedding, but in order to do that, it would have to be on a Sunday.
Spencer, isn't that kind of...
And so to do that, we need a Monday off to have the wedding, need a holiday weekend.
Yeah, and Spencer, isn't that kind of selfish of the brother? I mean, he's going to cost you how much more money just because he can't fly out on any other weekend?
He can come... But in order to be the rabbi, it would have to be on a Sunday. But, yeah, I mean.
What do you care? Aren't you going on honeymoon right away?
I don't know.
Oh,
that's a good question.
Well, you're certainly not going to go back to work the Monday after your
wedding.
You're asking me a lot of questions. I did not prepare for any of this right now. I don't know.
You're talking.
I don't know anything. I don't know the first thing about being engaged, okay? What do you want me to say? Well, it was an impulse.
So, you got her a ring.
I did.
Did you get down on one knee?
I did my best. So I'll give you a little background story. Her friend picked her up, took her to Dry Bar. It's this great place where they just blow dry your hair for $40, basically.
And did you pay for that?
I don't know why we never came up with this idea, guys, because this is a gold mine of an idea.
And Spencer, did you have to pay for the Dry Bar?
Oh, of course. So
you're in for $80 to begin with.
I paid $80. I told the friend to play it off like she got a gift certificate from a client.
Uh-huh.
She did that masterfully. Took her to get her – and then during the day, actually, let me rewind. During the day, I gave her a key to Corey's place. She went in, got Corey 10 dresses and like 5 pairs of shoes to choose from. So they're getting their hair blow-dried around 6:30. Then after their hair is done, the friend asks her – she tells her, you need to put one of these dresses on right now. We're in a hurry. So right by then, Corey knew something was up. She then drops her off at this courtyard where it was pretty close to where our first date was. But unfortunately, we don't really have good memories of this sushi joint anymore. So she dropped us off close enough. She dropped her off close enough.
So what were you doing during this?
Well, thank you for asking. So I was in this courtyard, you know, where she was going to get dropped off, and I was there for about 40 minutes because I just could not – I'm always late to everything. This would be the one time it would be awful if I was late too. So I'm there about 40 minutes in advance. I'm just walking around the back of the courtyard. There's a bunch of restaurants with, like, little patio areas, and, you know, people are, like, staring at me, like, what is this guy doing? Like, I'm just walking up and down the pathway. I'm on my phone, and every once in a while, like, I grin if someone texts me something funny. I look up, there's like little kids coming up the stairs, and they see me grinning, so they think I'm grinning at them. So all of a sudden now I'm this like pervert. So it was a whole mess. I saw some of the guys that were throwing away the trash. I could tell they were running back in to call the police. So I was really hoping the friend would get her there as soon as possible. She finally gets her there.
What a romantic location to propose, right next to the trash.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, hey, Paco, come on, man. Give me some time here. But so finally I see her come up the stairs. I'm like behind this elevator, so I wrap around. And I was like, the first thing I said to her, I'm like, all right, you want to go eat? You know, she didn't really – I think she was like in a trance. She
no,
didn't really know
let me ask you this, Spencer.
It was a bad – piss poor joke on my part.
Do
but,
you think she knew what was coming at this point?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so she, I mean, she was, when you made that joke, she's like, what?
She's like, come again? She's like, give me that thing. Give me that rock. So yeah. So finally, I get down on one knee. I'm like, you know, I've enjoyed, you know, everything leading up to this. It's meant to be. And then whatever I said. And I got down on one knee, and, like, my back, all of a sudden, the sharp pain goes right through my
Brian,
back.
Brian, he's
I mean,
got a bad back,
man.
Brian. He's got a horrible
so
back.
So I'm, like, counting the seconds, and she's just like, even though she knew it was coming, she was, like, still in shock, and she wouldn't take the ring.
Yeah.
So I'm down on my knee for, like, 35 seconds, and she's just staring at how beautiful of a ring it is. So finally I get back up, and she still hadn't taken it out yet. Then she starts to take it out, and her friend's taking a picture. So the only picture we have is of me standing up handing her the ring. And everyone's like, why didn't you get down on one knee? And I'm like, I was down on one knee, but it's my word against society right now because there's no – visual evidence of me on my
and society wins in that case.
Society always wins.
Well, also you're inherently untrustworthy, yeah. So
Very true. So what, but my back, I mean, what were the back pains were just outrageous at that point.
What were the people around you doing? Were they like applauding? Were they watching this? Like, was there
was a couple
around?
People walking by and they're like, yeah, there was a couple of applause here and there. The people up on the top of the balcony, I was shocked. They had great view. They had bird's eye view of the thing. Yeah. I didn't get one clap from them. I look up at them and give them a dirty stare because I think they thought I was that creep all along. And I'm like, yeah. Obviously I'm not a creep.
Maybe they thought Corey could do a lot better.
Maybe. It's possible. It's still possible to this day for all I know. But, yeah, I mean, like, the people that just came up the stairs gave me, gave a nice applause. But, yeah, the people that were whining and dining up top, I guess we didn't impress them enough. But, so after that, I took her and her friend, got them in the car, and I was like, okay, we're going to go to dinner now. So the second surprise was we go to dinner, and both sides of her families are there, and then my parents flew in from St. Louis.
The Yasmins.
And and friend of the podcast, Toddy.
Toddy.
Drove in from Austin. So
that's
it was
great.
It was
any of her family besides her parents there?
Her brother was there. Her grandmother was there. So there was 12 people in all that were there. The funniest part was, I told my parents ahead of time. I'm like, you know, like, anytime you have, like, divorced parents, I don't know the ins and outs. I mean, I think they're courteous to each other, but they obviously don't talk to each other because they don't interact. They just don't see each other. So I just told my parents, I'm like, I really need you guys to step up your game tonight. You know, like, my parents are, I'm sorry to say this, but they are a little socially awkward, and I'm going to get a yelled at once they listen to the podcast because they're avid listeners. But I said, you know, Mom and Dad, I really need you guys to step up your game if, like, one side of them is talking to you. I just need the other one to, like, talk to the other side. I don't need my dad. Knowing my dad, he would be like, oh, hold on one second. Let me get the other family involved so we all have one big conversation. I'm like, Dad, that's not going to work. I just want to make sure he knew
you
that.
Need
so,
your parents to act as a buffer, essentially, between the
I
two
I need to be
parties,
buffers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no fights or anything breaking out, but I just need my parents to understand that a lot of attention is going to be brought to them. And I told this to Todd, too.
And Brian, not to interrupt you, Spencer, rarely do the Yasmins ever bring their A-game. So just give you the heads up there.
And I wish I could tell you they did on this occasion, but they didn't.
Oh,
so,
no.
So I'm at dinner. We're about to sit down. We get to the restaurant. Everyone's, you know, hugging us, thanking us. We're about to sit down, and all of a sudden, my dad's the first one to go. He's like, Spencer, there's not enough room for 12 people at this table. It's too tight. It's too tight. I'm like, all right, Dad, you don't have to scream like a little girl. And then my mom goes, literally 20 seconds later, my mom is sitting in the booth. There's people around her. She's like, I have to get up. I can't sit in the booth. I'm too closed in. And then meanwhile, I'm looking, okay, I'm like, where's Todd? Surely Todd can save all this. I look over, Todd's on the end of the table, just staring off with Corey's 18-year-old brother. So it's like, he's not helping. The two of them are causing a commotion. So what I realized was, when I, like, asked both sides of the family, you know, permission and the whole plan about the proposal, I really should have got them to buy in that I'm going to need them to step up their game. My parents. That's what I realized, because my parents, I should have known that my parents were the ones that were going to crack first. And my mom afterwards, like, apologized to me for the next 20 minutes. She's like, I hope you understand. I just couldn't sit in the booth like that. I'm like, Mom, you've never been able to sit inside a booth. Why did you decide on this night you were going to sit? It's like the Passover story. Yeah. On this night, why did this simple child ask this question? Well, on this night, why did Cheryl decide she could sit in a booth when she knew she couldn't?
And how was
I just want to say right now, I'm looking forward to the next year or so's worth of stories about the wedding preparations, because if this was the night of the engagement, I can only imagine the great stories that you're going to have. Over the next year or so.
How did Corey's family handle that night?
I mean, they were all very pleasant. They were just freaked out by my family. They're like, what is wrong with these people? Why is Dick Cheney screaming like a little girl? Like, why can't he just behave? And why is Cheryl, you know, just going crazy about sitting in a booth? Like, why did she choose to sit in the booth and get crowded in by people? And then why is Todd having a stare-off with her 18-year-old brother? I mean, these are all questions I don't have the answer for.
I can see her parents being like, oh, God, my grandchildren are going to have these genes.
Dr. Yasmin.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Absolutely,
thank you,
Spencer. It's great news. I wish you and Corey nothing but luck and happiness.
Well, it's going to be tough for her being married to me, but we'll give it a shot.
And how is your back?
You said it, not me, but I was thinking.
How's your back doing?
still hurting from that. I mean, literally 35 to 45 seconds on the ground.
I can see, like, just shaking.
But here's the question that I have.
The ring almost popped out of my hand because I couldn't hold it much longer.
It's a pressing question. Now, does Joel still have a chance with you?
Always a chance. It's not sealed yet, so always has a chance.
Because I think, honestly, the engagement probably makes you a little hotter.
Well, maybe we should take a poll on the website and see what
people think.
Oh,
you will
be
taking a poll.
Okay.
Well, I think
What kind of ring did you get her? Like, I'm assuming diamond, but give us some details about that.
It's an oval. Very nice. Very clear. Pretty good size, I have to say.
How many carat? If you don't mind saying. I know some people are sensitive about this, so...
I'm just thinking if anyone's going to figure out where she lives and steal her. No, I guess it's okay. It's a 2-carat.
Guys, I need water. Water. Right away. Please,
damn.
Please.
It's a little over 2, actually. It's a little over 2. But, it's very nice, and, you know, I had her along every step of the way to just make sure that, you know, I didn't show her the end product, but I just wanted to make sure that...
You were on the right track.
I was on the right track, so...
Yes. So you think she approved?
Oh, very much so. Very much so. I got a lot of compliments from her friends.
Nice.
Well, it's a big thing. Like, you know, the ring that you get a woman, you know, because they tend to be, you know, they like the status symbol of when they get engaged, they don't want like some little simple gold band, unless they're a hippie. They want the rock. So I applaud and salute your ability to deliver the rock.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And with that said,
hopefully you guys will get to see. I will hopefully get you guys some pictures of it.
Yeah, and with that.
Well, we can see it from LA already.
Oh,
I mean,
great!
It's reflecting the light of Dallas over to us.
And with that said, exactly. Spencer will be in debt for a long, long time to come.
Yeah, I am. I am offering my services, and I clean, I cook. But I don't. When I say I cook, I will go to Whole Foods and put something in the oven.
There's effort,
but whatever it takes to make this money back. So
when you guys are on the streets, will the ring at least give you shelter?
Well, I don't think it will last very long. I think someone will pickpocket us, and I'm very worried about Corey.
You will get that ring off of Corey's cold, dead hands.
I'm very worried about her losing the ring at some point. So, you know, that's another thing. Insurance is outrageous on these rings. Oh God!
Jesus.
But you have it insured, right?
Oh, it's insured, but I mean, that's gonna be within a couple of years. I'll have matched what I paid for the ring. Probably. I mean, it's so expensive.
So when gay guys get engaged, you know, obviously we're not. A lot of us aren't big fans of big diamond rings on our fingers. So we normally get something like a very nice, you know, Cartier or Rolex watch. Did Corey get you anything like that?
No. And now that you brought this to my attention, I'm going to have a little talk
please.
With her.
I think you should absolutely have a talk with her. And the next time I see you, whether it's you in LA or us in Vegas or me in Dallas, I expect to see a really nice watch on your wrist.
So
the wedding's off.
Cartier watches, I mean, that's really expensive.
Fancy.
Yeah?
Ooh. Good to know.
This is Eric Katz. And
Brian's promise to break his heterosexual charity. You have guaranteed to deliver the big O.
The only thing I enjoy more than taking my regularly scheduled dump is listening to Two Jews and a Gay.
Now let's pass it over to Spencer for a little dirty talk. Spencer, take it away.
All right. Well, let's get this off to a bang, shall we? Apparently, you guys were in Vegas last weekend, weren't you? Weren't you?
That we were. Yes, right? Yes.
A little bachelor
Very
party.
Very exciting.
Bachelor party, yeah. So a little Vegas chit-chat, I like to call this. Apparently, after Brian got a lap dance, the stripper goes, "That boy ain't gay. He may be bi, but he ain't gay."
First of all, that was one of the most busted strippers you've ever seen. The only one who was more busted was the one who was grinding on Jeremy's cock.
Commercial, please. Can we go to commercial?
Digits? Anybody?
It was bizarre. Like, she was just, like, mocha-colored, just...
Whoa. Let's keep it professional here.
Yeah, come on. Brian, easy.
She was mocha-colored. I mean, she was. I mean, she was coffee-colored. Like, she wasn't, like...
coffee-colored. With a dash of cream?
She wasn't
latte?
Aunt Jemima Black, is what I'm saying.
Oh, my goodness. We just lost our... Reverend Jesse Jackson is not coming on anymore as a guest, unfortunately.
She wasn't Kenyan Black.
No, she wasn't. And she came by and she's kind of trying to work the table. None of us are interested. And I say to her, I'm like, My friend over there is gay. She goes, really? And she jumps on top of him and, like, literally just starts riding him really hard. And Brian's just kind of like, you know, his glasses start fogging up. It was a beautiful
sight. I honestly started giggling. And halfway through, I reached for my cocktail. I couldn't reach it. So one of the attendees at the bachelor party, he was kind enough to hand me my vodka cranberry at 3 a.m, by the way, which was just bizarre to be at a straight man strip club at 3 a.m. But she was doing her best. She was really working it, and I had to say she completely screwed over. She got $60 for that lap dance. She got $20 from friend of the podcast Chris, $20 from Jeremy, and $20 from Eric's friend Jesse. So this woman got $60 out of like the safest, most G-rated. Yeah. Lap dance that she could have ever signed up for.
The real question is, are you guys continuing to communicate post-Vegas?
I'm not. Jeremy, what about you and your busted stripper?
I thought we're going to commercial break.
Oh. and now a message
hey,
from
you
Reverend
can't fight
Jesse
with
Jackson.
Brian, you can't fight with the heart, okay, man?
I'm not concerned about what your heart wants. I'm concerned about what your cock needs.
Do you believe in love after love? Or life after love?
I will say what's best life. About my stripper is she was French, so guess what her name was, Spencer?
Croissant.
Good guess, but no, it was Frenchie.
Oh, Frenchie. How original.
Oh, Frenchie.
Oh, man.
All right. Do you guys remember my friend Romy? He was on Dirty Talk maybe 4 or 5 episodes ago.
Romy?
Yeah, friend Romy, friend of the podcast, he comes on and says, love the podcast, and then like a minute later goes, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that.
So,
it's the return of Romy.
Hey!
Hey, Romy, welcome back to the podcast.
Romy says in a text, congrats on the engagement. I hope you discuss this in your next podcast. Well, Romy, we did earlier in the podcast. I hope you've been listening.
How did you get him to become a listener again?
I don't know. That's a good question. I hope he is a listener. I'm assuming he's still a listener. I mean,
yeah.
For all I know, he's gone. Long gone.
What kind of name is Romy?
That's enough out of you.
I'm in love!
He's a nice guy. All right, next up, you know, earlier in this podcast, we were talking about, you know, what should the groom have? And
yes.
Brian, you know, he sent me a message on GChat while we were doing this conversation, and he writes, you deserve something on your wrist, and he sends me a link to a Cartier watch. So I appreciate it, Brian. And I
absolutely.
Go,
I'm looking after you.
And I said, but I asked Brian, I go, why don't men do matching bracelets, you know, maybe engrave their name? And Brian said, it's too gay. even for guys who suck dick, it's too gay.
Well said.
All right.
But it brings up a good point, Spencer. I mean, and Brian, you know, obviously you're on the other side of things. Why can't a straight guy get a gift from his fiance as well? Like, why does Spencer have to spend all the money, get Corey the gift,
I completely agree
and he gets
with you.
Nothing?
I think it's
millions
ridiculous.
Millions of dollars.
I think it's absolutely ridiculous that guys don't get some kind of similar token of the commitment that the woman is making towards him. So you're absolutely right.
Spencer, I'm going to call Corey tomorrow. What do you want?
He wants a Cartier watch is what he wants.
I'm going to lose the watch. I'd break the watch. Maybe like a lifetime membership to Dairy Queen. No questions asked. I can get a peanut parfait buster or a Reese's.
It's a peanut buster parfait. Get it right.
I'm sorry. Or a Reese's peanut butter blizzard anytime I want. That would be probably the best gift I can ever get.
I will talk to her.
Thank you. Appreciate it. moving on. Dan. Mr. Dan. He's back, folks.
Mr. San Francisco.
Mr. San Fran. Mr. Top 10 social media guys.
Hey.
In the west corner of San Francisco. So Dan writes to me, I used one of your brother's moves to land this current fish. I go, oh, really? And he says, I combined two of them, actually. I asked her, is this the line for the pizza toppings? I respond.
That actually worked?
And, well,
that's pretty funny.
I go, how did she respond? And he goes, and he says, she says, this is your first rodeo, isn't it? How cute. And, currently, he's dating this girl. So a proven success story. We thank Todd very much.
We need to get another Todd's pickup line.
Couldn't you see Todd on those info commercials late at night? Like, you know, the insanity workouts, and then it goes to Todd. Yeah. And, like, you have all these guys, like, in the background sweating, reading off the lines. And Todd's like, you stick with this for 6 weeks, and I guarantee you, you'll get slapped in the face 12 times, but you will get one match out of this. I promise you.
Hey, I would watch it.
Yeah. For late night, absolutely. Good 45 minutes of info commercials.
Okay. It's what you watch after you jerk off. You're like, all right, I need something to like bring me down to normal, you know.
Need somebody to put me to sleep here. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, so this next topic. Where have you been, Nick West? Nick says, you guys need to make a promo of cats just laughing. That's mostly all he does on this damn podcast.
That's true. It's like his one big talent.
And I have so many different ways of laughing.
I love the fake laugh more than anything. Give me a little fake laugh. Oh, yeah.
The fake laugh's a good one. Say something.
Brian is straight. He thought that was funny, guys. He really thought that was funny. All right. So Nick then proceeds to go, B-Mart is really getting into this Star Wars debate, if you recall from two episodes ago.
Yeah.
I was a fan of Star Wars Episode 3. Brian, not
so
much.
With you? What is the matter with you?
I stand
you're,
by
you're still said. Wrong about that, Spencer, by the way.
Well, we need to set up a podcast just for our sci-fi geeks out there who, you know, we tell them in advance, please don't listen to this if you're Romy or anybody else, a first-time listener.
Maybe we could get George Lucas on.
Oh. That'd be exciting.
Yeah, he sold
He's
out,
not
baby.
Doing anything anymore.
He sold out for those millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Brian, he does date black women, and your mocha comment from earlier.
Does he really?
I didn't get him.
Well, maybe he would be like, you know, Brian's right. She was mocha.
Cats, can you confirm that he does?
That was a fake laugh. Yeah, he is dating a black girl.
Oh, him and Robert De Niro can go out double date. Next,
it's a shame that you're never gonna date a black girl, Spencer. I just realized this. You're engaged. Not once, Brian, has Spencer dated a black girl.
Well, I had like.
Well, there's still the bachelor party. While that may not be technically a date.
I think one of my first kisses might have been with a black girl. So
really nice.
Yes. Nothing is out of bounds. So, next up, you know, keep in mind, Nick's giving me comments as he's listening to the podcast. This one I'm not so positive about. So, Jeremy, maybe you can help me recall this. He says, poor
Please.
Asian joke by Katz. I'm surprised you can say your R's.
Well, what is it? Like, they're not – I thought, like, the – don't Asians have a hard time, like, rolling their R's? Is that like one of the stereotypical jokes?
That is, but I think Nick was expecting more out of you. Is what that comment was about?
That's,
like,
why go
with the low? Like, you just commented about my allegedly insensitive mocha joke. I think that was at least more creative than Asians and problems with R's.
You got a point there.
Lost another sponsor. Damn it.
And again, Spencer has never dated an Asian girl. You've dated Guam?
We've lost our contract with Uncle Ben's converted rice.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my. Now, that's a Jeremy Katz laugh. Oh, man.
That's a real laugh.
That's a real laugh. Giddy up. All right. The final Nick thing. Nick responds, and man, Derek's not going to like this. Nick responds, God, this Oscar thing is boring. Derek liked Les Mis?
Well, let's be honest. I think Chelsea liked Les Mis, so by default,
right,
so did Derek.
Right.
He's a good boyfriend.
Right.
He's a good boyfriend. Derek, you're a great boyfriend.
And we thank Derek for all those predictions. Next year, let's make sure we bet on the opposite of everything he has to say. So we appreciate
exactly.
Derek.
Yes.
Nailed it. next up, my friend Jeremy in Orlando. He was a big fan of Brian's, as we all know, right? Well, on this, so here he's got a couple comments for me this time around. He says, you watch WWE? I had no idea. It completely changes my opinion of you.
Okay. Probably not for the better.
We'll take it. It's a male soap opera, right, Jeremy? We stick to it.
Exactly. And you've said a lot of controversial things on this podcast in the last 19 episodes. The fact that you said that you're a fan of WWE, I think, has startled people the most.
So, I don't watch it, like, religiously. I enjoy a good male soap opera. And to be honest, it hasn't been that good of late, so maybe I'll stop watching.
And Brian, don't you appreciate the fact that Spencer's watching men in spandex wrestle on top of each other? I mean, come on.
No, there is nothing sexual about WWE at all.
He obviously hasn't seen Fandango yet.
Are you not turned on by The Undertaker?
No.
Okay.
Let him see Fandango, and then maybe his opinion will change.
That's love of wrestling is like the from the white trash part of my gene pool, and I've kind of tried to
purge that. Come on, we just lost another sponsor. What is wrong with you, man?
Spencer has dated white trash, so we're good.
Oh,
there.
That is a fact. Didn't we talk about that on the podcast? How they, this one, or no, a different
dated
one.
Dated a racist.
Well, the racist, and then my other one, apparently great uncle was a Nazi or something. Remember what we talked about? She's like, I hope you forgive me. I'm like, just shut the fuck up. What are you, why are you bringing this up? Next up, my friend Jeremy says, your boy Derek was pretty much wrong for all of his predictions. For all of his predictions. Horrible guest, he said.
Oh, come on.
Simply put, horrible guest. Derek, we love you. We want to bring you back on. Maybe not to discuss movies predictions, but just movies in general.
I would say, obviously, his predictions didn't pan out.
Right.
We can't rewrite history. Right. But he does come from a background of knowing movies fairly well. So, and I think his topics and his thoughts on movies in general are worth discussing. So
I think I
he's welcome back on to discuss movies.
I wouldn't mind bringing him on to maybe talk about the Magician movie, since one magician seen other magicians, you know, to get his take on it. That might be good. Another Jeremy comment about, another one about wrestling, apparently. The fact that I've learned that Spencer is into WWE makes me never want to speak to him again.
Tough crowd, man.
And finally, with Jeremy, and I'm reluctant to say this because I know it's going to piss one of the three of us off. But this is Dirty Talk. I catch it live. It's real. And here we go. On the next episode, ask why Brian doesn't have any friends his own age. Beep! Oh, Brian's.
We got a winner!
Brian's heart just went out.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a ridiculous comment. I mean,
get
him
on the podcast.
Like we're, you know, in preschool and grade school here, you know, adults can have friends with other adults of varying ages. It's ridiculous that he would even make that comment. It's actually fairly ageist, and I won't stand for it.
And, you know, I think he's close to the same age as you. So, you know,
he probably looks 10 years older than me.
He might have to speak to that. So, you know, we got to bring him on as a guest and let you guys duke it out.
Yeah, old is he?
I think he's mid-30s.
So he's around my age, and yet he seems to be friends with you.
Exactly.
So
let's bring him on.
Is it inappropriate for him to have
Brian, keep in mind, he's no longer friends with Spencer because Spencer watches wrestling.
Yeah, that is true.
And you know what? In addition to bringing him on, let's bring on the next Dirty Talk contestant, Greg. And Greg says, I will give credit to Brian for the best one-liner of the past episode in reference to the high school reunion. He said, get revenge by what? Banging them poorly?
That is very sweet of Greg.
You're turning
voice
a
of the
corner.
Voiceless.
You're turning a corner with Greg. And Greg also wrote, also, informative stuff about Corey enjoying being hogtied. I never said that. That was it was a discussion about Jeremy,
man.
For the record. It was not about Corey.
Great.
Next up, what can you do without – you can't have a Dirty Talk without Joel Garcia. Well, maybe we did last week, but he's back this week.
Yeah, we did last week.
Joel says – that was maybe the worst impression of Morgan Freeman I've ever heard. Well, Joel, you better go tell that to Morgan Freeman, because that was no impression.
Oh, man.
Okay, and last, the Dirty Talk quote of the week comes from fan of the podcast, Adam in NYC. as many of you know, right before I made the proposal, I text out a lot of people saying, here I go, thank some of my good guy friends. I said, it's about to begin. And then I get a text afterwards from Adam, and Adam says, ugh, you went down that road, you caved. I was like, okay, thanks. You know, meanwhile, Jeremy and Nick, everyone's like, congratulations. I get that from him. And then 20 minutes later, I get a text from him. Meanwhile, keep in mind, I'm getting phone calls, I'm getting text messages. So I get another text from Adam. What'd she say? So I thank you, Adam. I haven't talked to Adam since, but yes, the answer was yes, Adam, in case you're wondering. She did say yes, and hopefully you can attend the wedding at some point. We'll see.
Not with those comments.
Not with those comments, though. And that is your Dirty Talk of the week.
Hey, this is Nick, recipient of Extreme Blowjob.
Your legs are on top of their shoulders. It was very extreme, very enjoyable.
And you're listening to Two Jews and a Gay.
We would like to welcome a new guest to the podcast. First time that she's been on the show. First time listener, or long time listener, first time caller, as they say. Claire Ripstein, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Now, Claire has been a long friend of both Jeremy and mine. I think Spencer's only met her once or twice when he's been in L.A.
It wasn't enough.
Honey. Appreciate that.
It's never enough. Claire is one of the friends that you have that is just kind of, she's brash, she's opinionated, she says what she thinks, and she doesn't care if she steps on a few people's toes along the way. So we really...
That's not true.
Oh, Claire, it's a little true.
Now.
No, yeah, but I really appreciate that kind of directness and bluntness. I think it's very refreshing. Not a lot of people are that direct, and I think it's something that we would be better served if more people were that way.
Interesting. Well, thank you.
So one of the things that Claire is very bold and brash about is her love of men. I think we can all agree on that. Jeremy, wouldn't you agree?
She loves her men.
Jeremy, you said it. Well, actually, I just said it. You just agreed. So, currently, Claire, you're single, correct?
I am, yes.
Where does a single girl kind of on the prowl generally like to go in L.A. For dates, for love, for sex, in that order?
Wow. Well, that's a great question. I guess for dates, wherever he wants to take me. I mean, honestly, let's let a man be a man. Don't they kind of like that?
I agree. I think, and you are one of the old school women where the man pays for the date.
Well, I mean, you know, if they're not going to pay, I understand. I may not go out with them again, but I understand.
But will you sleep with them?
Depends. It really depends. It depends on how much I've had to drink. It depends on how cute he is. It depends how much I like him. I mean, if I like him a lot, I'm probably not going to sleep with him. If I realize that he's cute and I probably never want to see him again, then, you know, why not?
But what do you, when you're looking for a man, like, what do you really look for? What are some of the qualities that really intrigue you with a man? Is job an important issue? Is how much money they make? Is it where they, like, their height? Like, what are some of the attributes that Claire Ripstein looks for in a man?
I mean, height's great. You know, a good job is nice. I don't think that's the most important thing, though. I think they have to have a great personality. Somebody has to be really intriguing, be able to hold a conversation, be able to keep up. I don't want anybody who's sort of a withering rose that wants to just bend over and, you know,
I will say, I do like a man that likes to bend over.
I mean, we all know you like that, Brian.
That is Claire, let's be honest, though. Money doesn't hurt. It's a big plus, right?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's all about the full package. So, and not just the package down below, but the actual metaphorical package, too. And those all go into it. Those are all factors. But, you know, I don't expect a guy to have money.
But you're willing to give a rich guy maybe more opportunities and chances if he was rich than a guy who's maybe, you know, working at the Gap.
Listen, you get a great discount.
I'm sorry. Was that a slight at me for working at Banana Republic in college?
That was a slight at you. Exactly.
And hey, you probably got a great discount at Banana, did you not?
Sorry, say that again.
I said you probably got a great discount at Banana.
50% off on full price items.
Exactly.
He never had more khakis than when he was working at the Banana Republic. Do you normally do, when you're looking to date, are you going online? Are you going to bars? Like, where does Claire Ripstein find her man?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of everything. I think it just depends on where you go. Sometimes, yeah, I'll do a little online. I mean, online is really fun if you're sitting on the couch, drinking a bottle of wine, watching TV, and you're doing that little quick match app on some of them where it's like, you favorite and you move on. You look at their pictures, you move on.
Which sites are you on?
I mean, I've dabbled in everything, Jeremy. Why not?
Please, do tell. Have you dabbled
Why
in everything,
not?
Claire?
I mean, I haven't gone in that direction yet, Brian. I know exactly what you're talking about. Not yet. Give me a couple more years of being single, and we'll see what happens.
So I take it you've been on J-Date, though.
Well, of course. What Jewish girl has not been on J-Date?
Please? And how's that worked out for you?
Who would know? Oh my gosh. Yes, I'm Jewish. You know, J-Date is not my favorite. I don't have a lot of affection for those Jewish sites. I just think they're sort of silly.
Do you find them like too stereotypical? Like they too much embrace the like stereotype of Jewish men, or what's your problem with J-Date?
Well, I think that the men that tend to gravitate towards J-Date embody some of the Jewish stereotypes that you're talking about.
And you just don't find that attractive.
It's not really my thing.
Which is why Jeremy does so well with you. It's because he doesn't really embody much of the Jewish stereotypes.
He's like a half a Goyish Jew.
Well, hey, Claire, I'm wondering. Claire, in Dallas, I have friends that are on J-Date, and they've expressed a concern as they end up, you know, knowing everybody that's on J-Date. You know, I don't. Is that an issue in LA that you end up, you know, most of those people?
I mean, I can find, I walk into a bar and I may know three guys I've slept with just as much there as I potentially would on J-Date or OkCupid or Match or any other site, because I think Los Angeles is a big city geographically. Yeah. It's actually a lot smaller when you really get down to it and who goes out. But yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. Have you found the same thing? I know you've done that.
I am not on J-Date. I was just curious.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You better not be
Jeremy.
On J-Date anymore.
that would be awkward. No, I've been on J-Date years ago, but I think in Dallas, I mean, Dallas is a big city, but I think the Jewish community, you end up kind of, everyone flocks to the same area, so
knows
you run
each
into
other,
the same
yeah.
people. So that's why I was curious if you, that's one of the problems you've had with in LA with J-Date.
And absolutely. Claire, let me ask you this, because from my friends that have been on J-Date, or not J-Date, online dating in general, there's two groups. There's the group that's looking to fuck, and then there's a group that's looking to actually meet a girlfriend, potentially something serious. What category do you fall in?
I mean, I think if you'd asked me that question a year and a half, 2 years ago, I would have probably said I was right in the middle. I think now, if you're going to do online dating, you have to put that time in. I'm looking for something that's going to be real. But at the end of the day, that's why I separate out online dating from, you know, to Brian's point, if I go to a bar and meet somebody, that's a very different experience. What I'm going to get out of that experience is different.
So you're looking to fuck, is what you're telling us.
With online dating? No, yes. Absolutely not.
Have you ever fucked a guy online dating the first time you met him?
I don't think so, actually. I have to think about it for a second. I don't think so, though. Uh-uh.
But, like, I mean, aren't you selling one-night stands a little short, though? I mean, can't you potentially find someone that you actually want to date from a one-night stand?
Absolutely. I've actually dated many men some men that I've met having a one-night stand with. It's actually turned into something. I think it just depends. You know, I mean, it depends on how girls behave, how they respond after the fact. That's all what kind of determines whether or not it happens again.
Well, and I kind of get the sense from you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're a woman who kind of knows what she's getting into when she gets into a one-night stand. She doesn't get moon-eyed. You don't get moon-eyed about the guy like, oh my God, he's just a perfect match. You realize that if you're meeting a guy at a bar, mm-hmm. and you're going home with him that night, that it kind of is what it is, and anything beyond that is kind of like the cherry on top, right?
Yeah, girl.
Absolutely. Of course. That yes, I totally agree with you. 100%.
So, and the question I kind of have that maybe springboards a little off of this is, because you're kind of a sexually direct woman, how do you feel other women respond to you, or other sexually direct women in general? Do you feel like there's a bit of a frowning upon or a double standard that they deploy to women like you?
You know, I don't really. I think the only time that would ever happen is if a girl happens to sleep with some guy's, you know, a girl happens to sleep with some other girl's boyfriend, which I have been lucky enough not to do. And I think in addition to that, I don't know, I think in large part, women may look at me and say, wow, she's lucky that she physically knows what she wants and knows how to get it, even with somebody she's not emotionally attracted to or connected
True, but,
with.
But Claire, let's also be honest. I mean, we love your attitude. It's completely healthy. There's nothing wrong with it. But there's a lot of people out there that hear that you're looking to just fuck a guy. And let's be honest, when's the last time you had a one-night stand?
It was a long time ago. I probably shouldn't say that on your podcast, right? That makes me sound really boring. But it was a long time ago.
Okay.
Well, but then this is a perfect segue here. What are you doing currently for entertainment?
I mean, Brian, there's television.
No,
I go
but,
out.
Like, what's
I
in
see
your
my
goodie
friends.
Drawer?
Oh, that kind of entertainment. I mean, I've slept with guys. I just haven't had a one-night stand in a while. I've actually gone out with guys a couple times, gotten to know them a little bit. You know, I think that's part of the process is figuring out when it's appropriate to have a one-night stand, when that's fun, when that makes sense, and when it makes sense for me to do something a little bit more emotionally based, a little bit more meaningful, maybe. Perhaps I'm getting old. I don't know.
Well, let's go back to the goodie drawer, because I want to hear what's happening.
Okay.
Don't leave us hanging, Claire. Yeah. What's in your goodie
there
drawer?
There isn't much in my goodie drawer. I mean, I don't really need it.
Do you not masturbate?
We all masturbate, Jeremy.
There you go.
Come
Are you
on.
Doing it multiple times a week, once a week? I mean, what's
Jeremy,
your normal
Jeremy,
regime?
Let's keep some things quiet. Let's keep some things okay. private. You know, come on. You can leave that one up to the imagination. You use my last name. Now.
When you masturbate, where is your leg?
I think my feet are behind your neck. Not if I'm by myself, no.
Do you pour yourself a glass of wine, light some candles, like set the mood? Like, what do you do?
That is absolutely such a fucking waste of time. No way. Absolutely not. I don't need that much time. Is that what most women do?
You need a big penis.
I mean, we all like a nice dick sometimes. Even Spencer and Jeremy like a nice dick sometimes.
What would you say, like, the biggest penis you've ever been with has been, like, size-wise?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I guess probably, like, a big black guy. I mean...
Ooh, you've been with a black man?
Of course. Yeah.
I knew that you and I had something
in common. I don't discriminate.
And what about the smallest? Have you been with an Asian?
Micro dick.
Wow.
Who was the micro dick?
I was so upset that I actually snuck out of the house when he went to the bathroom.
Snuck out. Like, how small are we talking, Claire?
I mean, when you think of a stereotypical micro dick, you look it up in Wikipedia, that's basically in the realm of what that was.
Like 2 inches?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did he at least go down on you?
I don't even think I wanted to go there. I think I just wanted to get the fuck out of his house so quickly.
Did you go down on him?
Absolutely not. No way.
And
your head just keeps hitting his belt.
From black man to micro dick, where do the Jews rank?
I think I don't think that they can actually be quantified. I think that every Jew is different. Honestly.
And how
we'll
big
take
is,
it. We'll
how
take
big
it.
Is Jeremy?
I've never seen Jeremy's penis, actually.
What? Jeremy?
Jeremy's Jeremy. Never wanted to fuck me.
You told me
you know
before
this.
The show that you have shown Claire your penis. Or else I wouldn't have asked that question. Well,
I got nothing.
This weekend, make sure it happens so that we can at least edit this to like include the actual size.
Definitely.
I think that ball is in Jeremy's court, my friend.
With any luck, the balls will be in your court.
Ooh, ayo, ba-dum-ching.
Now, before we take off, Spencer has a few rapid-fire questions for you. So, Spencer, why don't you let her have it?
All right, Claire. I'm going to name a genre of people. I want you to say rapid-fire the first person that comes to your mind on who you'd want to have sex with when I name this type of people, okay?
Okay.
All right, ready? Celebrity.
Ryan Gosling.
Athlete.
Derek Jeter.
Asian.
That guy Jordy that Jeremy's friends with. Does it have to be a celebrity?
He's half Asian, so we'll count it.
Oh, or it could be that guy from
Lost.
But
is he the lower half Asian?
Who's that
because
guy from
no,
Lost?
He might be disappointing.
He's lower half Asian.
Who's politician. That guy from Lost? Sorry, I'm totally fucking with your thing. Politician. The former speechwriter for Obama. Does that count?
Yeah.
Sure.
He's so
gay.
Hot. Obviously, Brian Martinson.
Hey!
That's it.
Claire, we thank you for joining us on this episode of the podcast. And you keep banging.
Thank you. You may need to edit out my last name. By the way.
We will not.
So it's now time. We've had this segment on for one or two other times. And I am pleased to introduce a friend of the podcast, Aaron's State of America speech.
Address.
I have not listened to this because Jeremy and Spencer want my like reaction fresh right as it's being played. So listeners, hear it for the first time just like I am.
Hello, America. This is your March 2013 State of America address. Thank you, Two Jews and a Gay, for having me back on. It is a pleasure, as always. Last time we spoke, it was the turn of a new year, and we discussed the financial issues and crises facing America, and that America will continue to face in 2013. Rather than rehash that same discussion tonight, which we certainly could do, I thought we'd talk about something a little bit different. I thought we'd talk about what's going on in the world and why it disappoints me that Americans seem to be disengaged from what's going on in the world. As you all know, or certainly should know, we still are engaged in a war in Afghanistan and in the global war on terrorism. Just the other day in Afghanistan, six American troops were killed, and it seemed to not even register in most Americans' minds. It was the deadliest day for American troops in Afghanistan so far this year, and it's really heartbreaking that most Americans don't even know. We'll never hear their names, we'll never know anything about them, because it might just get a blurb in the mainstream media and then it's gone. But that shouldn't be that way. And in addition to that, most Americans don't really seem to understand or want to think about that the world is a very dangerous place right now, and it seems to me that it's getting more dangerous and America might be more at risk than we have been in quite some time. Al-Qaeda, if you listen to some in the administration and even in D.C., they'll say Al-Qaeda's on the run, it's almost defeated, but that's just not the case. Al-Qaeda is resurging in northern Africa and in the Saudi Peninsula, and it's Al-Qaeda is morphing. It's now a loosely group of different offshoots that are probably all somehow connected through an active chain to the leadership, but they're doing their own thing and they're taking bold moves, something that we haven't seen before, and that's what you expect with an organization. They change, they adapt to what's going on, and we just passed the 6-month anniversary of what occurred in Benghazi, and we still don't really understand what happened, who's at fault, and when justice is going to be brought to those who committed the act. And then just a few months ago, we had the activity that went on at the oil fields in Algeria. Al-Qaeda is strong. The war in Afghanistan is winding down, and we don't know what Afghanistan is going to look like in a few years. The Arab Spring is potentially now an Arab winter, where Islamist regimes are controlling wide swaths of large countries like Egypt and Syria. And I'm just concerned that Americans don't seem to be engaged, and I don't know if they'll be engaged until something else happens to America. And that's just something that disturbs me. So, I do apologize for the heavy topic tonight, but I think it's important to note and for everyone to think about occasionally. And anyway, let's send our best prayers and thoughts out to the family members of the soldiers who were killed this week in Afghanistan. And let's do our best to be better here at home and the America that everyone deserves, especially those that are fighting and losing their lives. Thank you. I hope to speak with you all soon. And thanks again, Two Jews and a Gay.
So that was, as Aaron correctly pointed out, a very heavy topic. And he's not wrong, which is really irritating to say, because one of the main reasons we have Aaron on here is because he's supposed to be kind of a foil for me. He's supposed to, like, rev my engines up a little bit and get me to, like, engage him in some kind of partisan political battle. But he's right. This country has not ever really taken seriously the war on terror, insofar as we've never been asked by either the Bush administration after 9/11 first happened or the Obama administration since to really sacrifice anything for this war on terror. We ask a lot of our soldiers individually, and the price that they've paid is very, very high. But if you think about any major war endeavor that this country has ever gone through, think of the Second World War, where there was rationing, there was a draft, there was people working in war factories trying to bolster the war effort. And there has been no collective call of action like that in the, you know, 12 years or so of the war on terror. It's been really a war born on the shoulders of those enlisted men and women who have decided to volunteer to fight in our armed forces. And that's really unfortunate in my mind, because it puts the burden on them to the exclusion of anybody else in the country. And whether it is a fiscal policy question of like trying to pay for these wars with more taxes, or just trying to do anything to even support the troops once they come home, there are like, the VA is in shambles right now through both Republican and Democratic administrations, and we have our wounded veterans waiting months and sometimes over a year for the services that they need, and that's unacceptable in my mind. So, Aaron, I do thank you for this topic. It is a heavier topic than what we were generally doing on this podcast, but that doesn't mean it's not valuable. And I really think that we can all take an opportunity to learn a little bit, try to become more engaged, and try to think about what we can do, whether it's donating to charities that support veterans or voicing our opinions to our elected officials, something to help raise the awareness of these issues to people in this country.
Bipartisan agreement. All right.
And now let's keep talking about tits. And in order to talk about tits, we got to talk, hand it over to Dirty Talk Hollywood. Jeremy, take it away.
First headline. And this headline, boys, is going to make all the comic book geeks go, aww. Magneto will marry Professor X. Yes, Sir Ian McKellen will preside over the nuptials of Patrick Stewart and his girlfriend, Spencer. Does this motivate you to let B-Mart marry Corey and yourself?
Well, what we have to say, his 35-year-old girlfriend.
Yes, and Patrick Stewart's 72.
Is Patrick Stewart being rolled out in a wheelchair? Florida Jeremy's head explode that two people with that big of an age difference are getting married.
Have we seen what this girl looks like?
She's a jazz singer, yeah. So you can kind of take from that.
Does she look like Storm?
She does not look like Storm. I think she's white.
Well, but Spencer, what I want to know is, does this motivate you to let B-Mart marry you and Corey?
Well, I don't really see the parallels, but yeah, sure. he's more welcome to. However, Corey's Orthodox brother is in line right now to marry us. So we could have an Orthodox rabbi and a very liberal gay marrying us together. I'm all for it.
I would be totally down for that.
I don't think he would.
Maybe during the ceremony you can mention the Cartier tour. See how it goes over.
I'm surprised you've not mentioned the Cartier tour yet.
I never knew about such a thing. I never knew that that's what dudes do.
I gave you that link days ago. You should really have.
Whoa. You know, I thought you gave it to me earlier on this podcast.
Days ago.
Oh, this is awkward.
Awkward.
All right, let's move on to the next headline. All right, we like to have fun and joke here on Dirty Talk Hollywood, but much like Hollywood, not every tale has a happy ending. As most of you know, country singer Mindy McCready committed suicide a few weeks ago. McCready most recently starred on Dr. Drew's reality rehab show, Celebrity Rehab. Now, what's significant about this is the fifth person who has been on this show that has passed away. Guys, is this alarming to you?
Brian, you wanna take it away?
Well, I mean, I think Dr. Drew just really scored in the celebrity death pool. I mean, the problem is there's the old correlation is not causation. Like, is there a correlation between being a fucked up celebrity and appearing on Dr. Drew's show because you're a fucked up celebrity and you want that instant, that last grasp of fame and maybe a chance to get some help? Yes, but the real secret is, you know, fucked up celebrities who are addicted to drugs and alcohol generally have short lifespans. They generally find a way to wind up OD'd or suicidal or something. So it's really not surprising that these five celebrities, and if you could see me now, I'd be using air quotes, wound up dead after being on this show.
And I'm a little biased because Dr. Drew and I go way back. I brought him to UNLV two different occasions, you know, picked him up from the airport to come speak. So, you know, he's a good guy. And I think the big thing is, you know, these people have to kind of seek – they have to want to help themselves out too. So, you know, it's one thing, I guess, if any kind of help you're getting if they're not doing what the purpose of it. But these are people I believe she, you know, killed herself after the fact, right, on being on the show? Like, she was in her own care at this point?
No, yeah, it was out.
It's tough.
It was out of the
All I know is it does sell on ratings, sadly. So with that news, I'm sure – they just got another season. VH1
but
probably eats that stuff up. So
doesn't this show that maybe they shouldn't have a rehab reality show? I mean, Spencer, five people died that have been on this show.
Well, maybe they shouldn't have they shouldn't have Saturday Night Live. How many comedians have died on Saturday Night Live? Testify.
Yeah, but
Jimmy, here's
the thing.
Testify.
I disagree with that. I think you can make a case that if these people are getting help. And I think Dr. Drew, to his credit, is an actual board-certified addiction medicine specialist. If you ever listen to Loveline, that's how they introduce him.
He's a doctor.
He knows what he's talking about when it comes to the pattern of addiction. And he is a very qualified person to try to help them get over these addictions. But like Spencer's right, you have to want the help. You have to want to be on the path to recovery. Or else it doesn't matter. You can have a whole army of addiction medicine specialists helping you, but you have to make the decision to want to change.
And it's not
are we so damn heavy this episode? Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking getting married and soldiers in Afghanistan and dead celebrities. It's like, let's lighten up. Let's talk about tits. Come on, guys.
And I'll just say this, too. It's not like they've had five people on the show total and all five of them died. At that point, I'd
exactly.
be like, if I was the next celebrity up, I think I might pass. But, you know, I think he has a better success rate than that. So,
does he?
I'm just telling you, let's end Dirty Talk Hollywood on a fabulous note.
You want some tits?
I want some tits.
Oh, I've got some tits.
Man
next
tits?
Headline.
Man tits?
Well, tits and cock.
Okay, good. Phew.
I'm sure most of our listeners know, well, let's be honest, pretty much all of our listeners know that a bill passed recently that requires porn stars to wear condoms while shooting pornos in the state of California.
Outrageous.
The worst. Spencer, how do you feel about that real fast?
I'm all for it, actually.
Bareback porn is the lifeblood.
All for it. Anything that cover up
porn.
Those monstrosities.
It's the mother's milk of gay porn.
Well, it looks like we have our first offense as a watchdog organization received a tip about the rule-breaking about the rule-breaking behavior on the set of a film produced by Immoral Productions. The organization has stated that they verified the claim by reviewing material on the company's website. Spencer, what I want to know, what Brian wants to know, what everyone wants to know, now with condoms, what is going to happen to the cum shot?
I'm going to take this a totally different direction. I hope that's okay.
Please.
How do I sign up to be one of these watchdogs? Like, I always thought about, like, the NCAA, like, the sanction team. They have, like, six guys that try to, you know, manage over 400 schools. How do I become one of these watchdogs that hides behind a window as these scenes are going down and then also has the job of going on the websites to determine I'm gonna need my forensics advisor in here. Is that a cock? Is that a ball? Those balls are not covered.
You put your glasses on, you know.
And I'm just like, it's really foggy behind the window. You know, I got Brian's glasses on. They just keep fogging up on me. I just want that job. So I don't know what your question was. I don't care what your question was. That's my response to what I just heard from you.
All right.
The answer to your question, Jeremy, is you're going to hear like the latex glove snapping off.
Ugh.
And then you'll have the cum shot.
So there's still a chance for the cum shot.
There's still a chance for a cum shot. It's just, right. I think the rule is just anything vaginal or anal requires a condom, correct?
Wouldn't it be kind of... but it's the motion. They're having sex usually, you know, and then they have to, like, the guy, you said the guy has to, like,
rip it Jeremy, off. Come on. You and I both know that they always cut away to the cum shot. It's always like they segue over to it.
Wait, wouldn't it be funny, though, if they actually did it in the condom and you just, like, they zoom in on the condom and it just, like, you see it extend? You see it, like, extend out and go back in like a balloon? Like,
oh, God. Jesus, what an image. Oh, man. Speaking of which, Spencer, say goodbye to the condoms. All right. All right, guys. Final headline.
That was good.
Have you guys heard of the show Veronica Mars?
Yes.
Spencer? I have, but I don't know anything about it.
Just checking. The canceled TV show has new life as a movie will be funded solely on a Kickstarter campaign. The creator and series lead, Kristen Bell, challenged fans to raise $2 million through Kickstarter, in which case Warner Brothers would greenlight a Veronica Mars movie. Well, it only took 10 hours for the campaign to reach $2 million.
Wow.
Now there's talk of doing the same for other canceled TV shows, like Chuck. Boys, if you could start this TV show for any show that's been canceled, which would you choose?
Well, I'm going to have to give this a little thought, but hear me out. I'm going to go with What About Brian?
You love that show.
I really love that show.
No one saw that show.
It got so good the final year when Stacey Keibler came on, George Clooney's little dandy girl. So I really liked that show. It was a lot of down-and-out actors that got one last shot at Hollywood, and they really made the most of it, damn it. And I think they got a raw deal at the end. I think What About Brian? Another one, Dirty Sexy Money. I don't know if you guys ever watched that with Donald Sutherland. Great show on ABC. I believe the girl in it is on that Justified show that you guys like. So I think Dirty Sexy Money would actually be a great – I could see that as a cool movie. Lucy Liu's in it. So, yeah, that's my two choices.
Nice.
I would say, although it did actually have a season – or series finale, but I think there's more story to be told. I think Alias with the incomparable Jennifer Garner –
good choice.
Would be the one that
Bradley
I would
Cooper,
choose.
He's a star.
Bradley Cooper, he's a great star now.
Well, mine would be
Victor Garber, you know, and you gotta love Victor Garber.
Because he's gay, that's why you love him.
Who's that?
You'd recognize him.
You don't know who, you know who Victor Garber is. He was the designer on the Titanic in the movie.
Oh,
Titanic.
He's in Legally Blonde. Why do I know that? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Why he's gay? You know that for a fact?
Yeah, he came out.
One for the guys. Mine would be the critic. Remember The Critic, the cartoon with John Lovitz?
The John Lovitz cartoon?
That show is so great.
It was
so
a good
great show. Pretty funny.
What about Darkwing Duck? That'd be good, too.
That'd be a good one. But you know what's funny about this is there's a lot of people in Hollywood that are really nervous because suddenly there's talks that there'll be a Chuck Kickstarter. There'll be, you know, they're talking about that Firefly once again, another Kickstarter for that. So all these, you know, cult TV shows that all got canceled are suddenly going to have all this money come in to produce movies, which there's going to be no audience for. Like, Spencer, would you go see a movie based on Chuck, the TV show?
I never watched Chuck. I never understood.
Exactly.
I thought Chuck – but Chuck, the first couple of seasons, was actually really clever
and
well
done.
Wait,
hear me out for a second. Why do they have to make the movie just because they make this money? Like, obviously, they made a deal with Kristen Bell, right?
Yeah.
The studio. So,
well, the studio is actually not going to finance it at all. They're going to distribute it. So, basically – they're going to make the movie for, you know, $2 million, maybe a shade over $2 million budget, very cheaply, and then they're going to distribute it.
It's not their money then, right?
No, exactly, but they're saying...
Well, there's still some distribution
there
costs.
Is, yeah,
I mean, it's not...
But basically what's going to happen now is there's going to be all these Kickstarter campaigns that potentially could raise millions of dollars for TV shows that, let's be honest, had like, what, 13, 14 episodes, so...
Well, but there's nothing forcing these movie studios to release these movies. You know, I mean, you could have a Kickstarter campaign for, you know, I'm trying to think of a really bad TV show that...
riveting television.
Like, universally reviled TV show. And I'm drawing a blank right now. Like Two Broke Girls. Oh, it's
that's what he thinks of as Two Broke Girls. But Brian, you're telling me the cum shot's not going anywhere?
Cum shot is not
that's
going
that's Dirty Talk Hollywood.
Thank you, Jeremy. And now I think we're at the point of the episode where we can kind of wrap it up. It's been entertaining, a little
emotional.
Heavy. But some very highlights. We've had some breaking news with Spencer's engagement and, you know, adequate discussions about all manners of pornography. So I think it's been a very successful.
And don't forget my friend Jeremy in Orlando, his comments. Woo!
Yeah, I still
get some feathers there.
Yeah, he's dead to me.
Ruffled. He's flustered.
So before we before we end, let me pass it over to Jeremy, see if there's any last comments.
Yeah, you know, Spencer, I would just like to say, for myself, B-Mart, and all of our listeners,
except for Jeremy,
we're very
Florida.
Happy for you. You know, I'm trying to make a heartfelt speech right now. Can I continue?
No.
Okay. No, but in all seriousness, joking aside, Spencer, we're very happy for you. We love
you.
And you're going to make one feisty husband.
Oh, thank you.
Until you get beaten down.
I appreciate it, guys. And as you know, I said before, Aaron was quoted to be the groomzilla at his wedding. Mm-hmm. I'm already getting people that are saying I'm going to be equally as bad. So I say bring it.
Bring it.
I'm working on these hotels already.
Well, Spencer, again, you're going to be a great, great husband. And most importantly, I do look forward to giving you this same spiel again in 10 years.
Thank you. Thank you. Maybe five.
All right, guys, I think we should end with the sounds of how we feel about this occasion. Derek, hit the music.
Oh, come on. Oh, give me at least a month being engaged before you play that.
For Jeremy Katz and Spencer Yasmin, I am Brian Martinson, and we will catch you next time.